Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Knock, knock! Who's there?
Knock, knock, knock.
I am the one who knocks. Knocks, knocks.
Hello!
Well, I lay my head on the railroad track, waiting on the double E. But the train don't run by here no more. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Oh,
out, I'm treading water again. 1,000 miles east of where the horizon line met its end. Half a country from where ukulele girls played the same songs over and over, voices flatter than Winnipeg. Why can't they all be Minnesota girls? I'm sorry, Brian Wilson, but you were wrong. Life in NYC, but that's okay, I'm kicking it with my friends at the 7th Street entry.
WMFO Medford, 10:10 in the morning. I'm Mike on the mic, and thank you very much for joining us today. We always appreciate it. Let me tell you what I just played, and then we'll have Mike Stewart, who has a project called Boston Women Rock, tell us about our guest, Savoir Faire. All right, so we played, started off that set with Duran Jones and the Indications, 2019 release from a record called American Love Call. That was Long Way Home. Then a person who goes by the moniker Scary Pool Party. That was called Out Loud. And I told that story before. I was flipping around the channels and I saw the end of American Idol. And this guy was the last one that was there. And he blew me away. Say what you want, but I think he's one to watch. His name is Alejandro or something. Again, it was called Out Loud. The great Linda Ronstadt after that from 1977, Simple Dreams. That was Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me. It is not a song about me. It is not autobiographical. at all, no matter what Mike says. And then the Shackletons, one of my favorite new finds from a record. It's an EP, actually, called Second Attempt, called Minnesota Girls. All right, very happy to welcome Mike Stewart, who has a project called Boston Women Rock.
Good morning, Mike Newman.
Well, good morning, Mike Stewart. How are you?
It's been a good morning so far.
Okay.
Not me, I'm just old.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Thank you for having Boston Women Rock. We're trying to get it back.
You're
on
welcome.
The rails here. I've been kind of sidelined with some physical ailments and stuff, but we're trying to get things rolling here. Our guest today is Savoir Faire.
Hey.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome. Hi. Hello.
Always
good
nice
morning.
To see you. Thanks for coming in today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I think we had you a couple years ago, I think.
Yes, yeah. And it was What's Happening.
Yes, yeah.
And you had mentioned this program, so yep. Hey, I finally made it.
There you go. Yeah. Boston Women Rock, I forgot. Actually, I forgot my station IDs, my boss. I'm sorry, Mike. I'll get him, bring him in next time.
All right.
It's done by Flight of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great. excuse me, we have no cough button here.
No, we don't.
Boston Women Rock is a going on, I think, 5 or 6 years now. I forget because, you know, my mind's gone. But we do it here at WMFO on a couple different shows. Originally started on Something About the Women. And then we started doing it on Rising. And we've been doing it on Mic on the Mic. And we do it up at WMWM on either What's Happening or Tracks of the Town or the Juke Joint. And we were doing it on WEMF, but unfortunately WEMF is no more. We might be looking at another radio station to carry that. So today, our guest is Sarah from Savoir Faire. And give us a little background. You're educational, where you're from, and how's that influenced your music?
Sure. So if we want to go way, way back.
Way back machine.
Music was always a big part of my life. I started out learning piano in elementary school. Was always listening to music. My parents listened to a lot of music, a lot of classic rock.
Yeah.
A lot of, well, everything, really. And then the 90s, like mid-late 90s came around, and there was this whole girl power movement,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And you guys remember Jewel, right?
Absolutely. Lived in her car for a while, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she came to Medford in December, actually. I got to see her, and it was amazing. So then I wanted to play guitar,
yeah.
Because I wanted to be like her. Yeah. So when I ended sixth grade, I got a guitar. I started guitar lessons. And then most of my lessons were like kind of like folk, classic rock stuff, a lot of finger style. So that has definitely seeped its way into everything. I don't play with a pick. I always tell my students, you're welcome to play with a pick, but mm-hmm. I don't. I've got five picks right here.
There you go.
So
you're not talking nails. You're talking fingers.
Fingers and nails, I guess, but I don't like keeping my nails too long.
Yeah.
You know, like you see some classical guitar players and their left hand's all short and their right hand's out long.
Right.
You know, I could do that for a little bit, but then they start to bug me. When I got to high school, the only ensemble I could join with my instrument was jazz band. So I did it, even though I didn't know what I was doing at mm-hmm. all. You know, I didn't know what a 13th chord was. I didn't know my scales. So I was just kind of, I guess they call it button mashing in the video game world.
Yeah. But it's wonderful to learn all those complex chords, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd learned, you know, I did have chord. I had this book that my mom gave me about guitars, and it had like a little bit about like how to change your strings, how to fix your intonation, and the back was like every chord.
Yeah.
So I'd stare at those charts and try to figure out how to play the 13th chords or whatnot. But I was still a little lost. But my band teacher, Rod Ferland, he was very he was very kind to ask me to do honors jazz band, even though I didn't know what I was doing. But I think it's because I was the one guitar player that wanted to be there.
Sure.
You know, like the other guitar players there were great, but I think they wanted to play like Megadeth and stuff, which is cool, but it wasn't what we were doing.
Well, if you can combine that with Joe Pass, it makes an interesting collision. Yeah.
It sure does.
It would have been even more interesting if his name was Rod Serling, but that's a whole other thing. That's just me.
Yeah. So then, you know, I knew since I was in middle school that I wanted to be a music teacher. So when it got time to start thinking about college, I knew I'd have to audition and I'd have to know more than I currently did. Mm-hmm. I joined the jazz choir and the honors choir. Miss Karen Sayward, I know she's now at BC doing a lot of cool stuff with their jazz vocals there, but she was very helpful. Oh, nice. Dave Umstead, my other band teacher, helped me, and I went to UNH for music ed and jazz guitar. And Dave Newsom, who also primarily works with Berkeley, great guitar instructor, taught me a lot, because when I arrived there, I realized just how much I did not know still.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sarah, I just want to interject and say, mm-hmm. I'm so struck by the fact that you are shouting out your teachers.
Well,
it's so important. That tells me an awful lot about you and yeah. how much influence they have. And it's awesome.
And I'm so grateful because...
And now you're a teacher.
And now I'm a teacher. Yeah. And I hope that a little piece of how they taught me transpires, because I never felt like I was, the top of the, music students or whatever. You know, there were always the students that were like really good at what mm-hmm. they did. And then I was, I was trying, but I never felt like I was that great. And to be honest, I'm always a Debbie Downer about myself, but many artists
being
are.
Being humble is not, it's not a bad thing.
But I wanted to be there and I wanted to learn. And I'm so grateful that these teachers had the patience to work with me. And not only that, but they were encouraging and they knew to meet me at my level. And for example, when I was in high school, I wanted to join the jazz choir, but you were supposed to do honors choir and regular choir before joining jazz choir. Mm-hmm. That was like the prerequisite.
Sure.
But I was a senior and I didn't have any other time to get this in. But I wanted to have it on my transcript and I wanted to have the experience. So choir teacher let me do it, even though I didn't meet the prerequisites. And I'm just grateful for teachers like that that saw that I wanted to do it and appreciated that I might have potential and I love singing too. I'm not very trained in it, but I take all of those experiences and listening too. So I love listening to jazz singers. So.
I love that now that you've had those great experiences with those teachers, that you're paying it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you're thinking about that all the time.
Always.
and how you. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and it might have happened already, where one of your students is going to be on the radio somewhere talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I want to start singing The Circle of Life now.
The Circle.
Right.
Yeah. I have a lot of great students, and some of them go into music and some of them don't, but they keep playing music. And I think really that's the big point to me, is that they keep music a part of their life and that they enjoy it. And that's... segue, watch out. Another reason why the other part of when I'm not teaching high school music, I work with the Berkeley Institute for Arts Education and Special Needs, because what we do is we make sure that music, and now we're adding other forms of art as well, is accessible to everyone. So a big part of how I run my classroom, and I work with other teachers and doing the same thing, is making sure that, again, we're meeting students at their level, and there's not just one way to learn something and one way to do something, because if we go by tradition, it can feel that way, especially with music. Right? There's one way to read the music, there's a proper technique, all that. And of course, there are techniques and methods, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there's no one size fits all. We know that with anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But isn't the important thing making sure that there's a love of music and being active in making music, regardless of how you get there?
It is, and passing that along to your students is so important.
Yeah.
So, you also obviously are a performer.
Yes.
As Savoir Faire.
This is true.
Yep, and you're here talking about a new record that you've got out.
Yes.
How long's it been out? When did it come out?
December 6th.
Okay.
So a little bit of background info here. I've been performing in the area, I'd say, for 10 years, since I graduated my undergrad in 2009, and I applied to get certified in New Hampshire and Mass, but I really wanted to end up here so I could be around more of the Boston music scene. So I started living in this area in 2009, 2010 and just going to every open mic I could find. Mm-hmm. you know, I found, was it the Cantab was on Tuesdays. Back then the All Asia was on Thursdays and you know, yada, yada, yada.
And there's quite a scene around here.
Yeah. And so I just would hit off every open mic I could while teaching my first teaching job in the public school. And that was fun.
Did some of your students, or do they come out to see you sometimes?
No, I like to keep those two worlds
okay. separate. I was wondering about that, because it can go either way. Yeah.
Let's look outside, see if they hear me.
Oh, no. So, yeah, I've been aiming to get something recorded for a long time, but I think part of it is just me. I never put it as a priority, because anytime I had to spend extra time or money on something, it was always taking more classes or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, myself and some of the other musicians that play with me, tried a few rounds of trying to record an album and demos. And a few years ago, I thought, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, now we're on to a whole new round of songs, and I want to have something I feel good about. And really, I'm never going to feel good about whatever I put out there, because, again, the artist mindset, right? It can always be better. But I didn't really want to do a fundraiser for it, because I felt like if I was going to do something like a Kickstarter, then it should be for, like I see a lot of my colleagues in other schools doing it to get music stands or instruments. So it felt like in terms of priority.
Yeah. So crowdfunding is so in vogue.
Yeah. So I didn't really want to do that for this. So I decided we would do it at home by ourselves. Andrew Morrow, the bass player, and I, and our friend Patrick Dacey, who is in L.A., working for Bob's Burgers, so he kind of knows what he's doing.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So we're very grateful for his help, and Tim Dacey, his brother. So we would record in the closet at home, mm-hmm. even in the summer. It's very hot in there. And then we'd send it out to them, and they would mix it. So it's very much still an do-it-yourself project. It's not going to sound as squeaky clean as a studio, but it was a learning experience, and it was an endeavor that was dear to me. And, you know, we worked on it, nitpicked on it, and then finally I was like, you know what? I'm setting a deadline for a release show at the Burn, December 6th. So whatever happens, no matter how it sounds, it has to be done by that. Otherwise, I would never manage it.
You know, so many folks that come in here and talk to us say the same thing, that they had to set a deadline.
Yep. And I keep doing it again.
I appreciate the background about the closet and everything.
Yes.
But I am wondering, and I'm discovering that you're a little bit, you'll push back against the norms a lot.
Oh,
and I got to ask you, Machine with a Memoir?
Yeah.
Explain that.
Sure.
That's the title of the record.
It is everybody. The title of the record. Yeah. And it's title of one of the second to last tune. So I also really love science fiction.
Okay. All right.
And what I like about it is that it is clearly it's reflective. Yeah, it's reflective of current times, right? Mm. Or what we might see in the future, and a lot of it has been pretty prophetic, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whether it's you know, more fantastical, or simply, you know, the robots are going to get us. I think that no matter how many sci-fi aspects there are in it, it's really about humanity. So I just grew up around a lot. Most of my parents like sci-fi too. They're not like Trekkies or anything, but there's an appreciation for it. Every time there's a good sci-fi movie out, I might see it with my dad or whatnot.
I'm totally getting it now, because a machine doesn't necessarily have a memoir or human qualities, but this is a machine with a memoir.
Or do they?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Blade Runner.
Exactly.
But I guess it's sort of a double meaning, right?
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
It's reflecting on our place as humans as these technologies take over more and more, but also we are machines in a sense, and we have memoirs, and we can be very powerful machines. So that's really what it means.
Love it.
So what do you have for us music-wise today?
Would you like to hear something old from the record?
Well, we were talking about that we could
play
something from the record.
Let's do that, sure.
And then you come back and you'll do a PSA for us.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. So on this record, we asked you about some music that you might like us to play.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a couple of tracks. One is Education and one is The Rose.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about those, if you would, please.
Well, I think Education might be a little more straightforward with my background.
Yes. It's all coming into
light
now.
It's very important to me. And I think there are many forms of education. There's formal education, then there's life education, which will come into my PSA that I'm going to make.
Okay.
And we need to value it because it's really what, it's such a driving force, I guess you could say. And sometimes it feels like we're, you know, we're focused on statistics and all that and really... There are so many issues in the world, of course, to be a negative Nancy, but education, any form of it, is really the answer to so much of it.
And without it, we're lost.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, The Rose.
The Rose.
It makes me think of Bette Midler, but I have a feeling that it's not.
Well, I love Bette Midler because I love Hocus Pocus. Not ashamed to say I watch that every year, know every line, ever since I was
now
a
child. Now we all know.
But The Rose is actually based on a story called Le Petit Prince, or The Little Prince.
Okay.
It's a French story, and my mother introduced it to me when I was young, and I didn't really get it. I read it, and it seemed like a story about a little guy, little astronaut on a planet with a fox, and there was a rose, and it was one of those things, like, I read through it, but it didn't seep in. And then I revisit it as I was older a few times and really realize what the story is about. It's about this little prince, and he's kind of looking for meaning in the world, and he meets the rose, and the rose is something that he can take care of and love.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I can't wait to hear these tracks. Let's play Education, followed by The Rose, and then we'll come back, and you can play a couple of songs for us live here and do that aforementioned PSA.
Yeah.
It'll be so much fun.
All right,
it's
going to be so much fun.
This is WMFO. We'll be right back after these. You were ready for the desecration.
When I grow up, I won't understand what makes a woman or a man a man. And when I see things, view them with my eyes, I will see them in color and forget to ask why. I might float around forever with no roots to hold me down, wondering where I'll land, wondering where I'm sound. And you, you will be unique in all the world. I will be unique in all the world. Well, perhaps when I have planted, reached the soil, seen the sun, will it shine on me forever? Oh, so I no longer need to run. I hear that you're responsible for what you tend to tame, but I am a mere rose of the prickly crimson fame, and you will be unique and all. Eyes to glances and I hold them, but remain as empty as a shell, just like a desert that hides the thriving will. So like a tin man with no heart, what's invisible to me? But I might fall without a sound, like a crestfallen tree. And you will be unique and all. Thank you. of wealth and fame and power and pain. They are as silent as my fall. I hear all men have stars. But I'll never know what makes a man a man.
WMFO Medford, about 10:40 in the morning. I'm Mike on the mic. I'll be here till 11 with my guest, Salvador Fair, and Mike Stewart, who conceived of and has a program called Boston Women Rock. And yep. Oh, I should put your mics on.
Yeah, Mike's help.
Yeah.
He wants to hold it all for himself because it has something to do with his name.
Stop pointing at me. So welcome, Sarah. Mm-hmm, really happy to have you here. And so happy to have played a couple of songs.
I appreciate that.
Oh, from your new record, A Machine with a Memoir.
Yes.
And we were sort of whispering to each other a little bit during the playing of it. And we learned that although it was in a closet, I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, how are the drums in there?
Yeah.
And found out that true to the title, Machine, you know, a drum machine was used on a lot of those tracks, although it was augmented sometimes after the recording. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, when we decided to record at home, then it was, so how are we going to record the drums? And we tried... we tried recording them. I'm very thankful that my landlord doesn't mind that we play music at all. She lives upstairs. She doesn't mind if it's full band or just me.
Yeah, my neighbors wouldn't like that.
A lot of people wouldn't.
No.
The drums didn't sound quite right. So what I ended up doing is writing out all the parts for the drum set on software for composition. And then exporting that to Wave, to audio, and sending it to Pat in LA, and then he had much better equipment, and he played some of it, and then he just kind of put what's it called, a plug-in for drums to get them sounding a little more human. But that was a struggle for me because I felt sort of like it had to have real drums on it. It wouldn't have soul if it didn't, and felt kind of bad about not having that, but the important thing was to get the songs out there.
Yeah, but you know, it worked out nicely, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And I guess, like you said, it's sort of with the theme of the album.
Right.
For sure.
So you brought a guitar. You might as well play
it.
You're going to treat us to a couple of live tracks.
Yeah.
The first of which is from this record, A Machine with a Memoir, and it's called Sound and Noise.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that, if you would.
I am fascinated by sound.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I do a lot of talking with my students, like, what is music? What's the difference between sound and music? Because somehow, you know, I know John Cage would have said it's all the same, right?
Yeah.
But somehow our brains can differentiate, because there's a lot of evidence that says that music, even with memory loss, music somehow stays with us.
I've seen those stories. It's amazing.
Yeah, and there are a lot of them, and there are a lot of studies. There's a great documentary called Alive Inside, which gives me hope, you know, but
yep.
That will stay with me,
folks.
With Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a terrible disease, but music
It brings
stays.
Them, it makes them alive again.
Exactly. Yeah. So it really is a time machine, and I'm just... it's just a interesting type of sound, I guess. And beyond that, sound design has always interested me. I don't know that much about it, but listening to albums like Kid A by Radiohead and all that is just the way the sound moves.
Very esoteric taste you have.
So that's kind of what the song is about, because it just kind of takes over that musical sound. So
all right, well, let's hear Salvador Fair live in Studio A from the record Machine with a Memoir. This is Sound and Noise, everybody, at WMFO.
You know that this is how it starts. It gets all tangled in your brain. But it's wider than the sky, and it'll cipher all your pain. And like a drip of sick drug, just one drop is all you need. It'll twist into a tree,
from one minuscule seed. And you'll say, what is this sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to cipher all my pain? And you'll say, what is this sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to make me feel insane? And love, oh love, my heart used to be mine. Love, oh love, my heart used to be mine. Because you gave it all your heart, but it wants your soul. It cannot stand to be apart. It cannot place you on parole. And you find it everywhere, round every corner, every crease, seeping into what you allow. It cannot stop, it will not cease. And you say, what is the sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to make me feel insane? And you'll say, what is the sound? What is this noise? And what is its name? How does it have the power to make me feel insane? And love, oh love, oh love, my heart used to be mine. Love, oh love, oh love, my heart used to be mine.
Sound and Noise from the new record Machine with a Memoir, and I mean the lyrics tell the story there.
It really does tell us
all about your feelings about Sound and Noise, and it's kind of cool because it is everywhere. It's lurking around every corner. Yeah. You can't get away from it. Not that you'd want to.
Exactly.
It permeates our lives in a good way.
We let it take over.
Yeah. Hey, would you treat us to another one?
Sure. This song is called Someday, and When I was trying to get out there and perform more in college, I didn't really have the guts to play my own stuff. Hmm. So since I was studying jazz guitar, I would just listen to a lot of the standards to learn them. But I loved Ella Fitzgerald. I actually fell in love with her voice in high school.
Yes. Yes.
So I would listen more to her than I would the instrumentalist that I probably should have been listening to.
Well, she kind of is an instrumentalist, right?
She is. Her scat singing, the way she reinterprets melodies, her duets with Joe Pass. So I would kind of just listen to those and listen to her duets with Joe Pass to try to figure out, like, how can I make this work by myself? Not saying I was anywhere near either of those people's level, but it was very educational in its own sense. And I just kind of would go out to play cafes or whatnot, and all I would do was jazz standards. So the feel of this song is sort of a tribute to that, but the topic of the song is more about all the stuff going on today. It's called
Okay.
Today.
someday. WMFO, live in Studio A. Believe me, the scatting in there didn't escape me.
Oh.
You know, talking about Ella.
Oh, she's
That's
wonderful.
A really nice homage to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's, amazingly enough, I don't know if you knew it, she originally wanted to be a dancer.
I didn't.
So she was at, this is the story that I've heard from, you know, biographical stuff, but she was young at a talent show, and she was going to do a dance for it, but then there was another contestant that was a more advanced dancer than her, so she thought last minute, oh, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, can't imagine.
So she changed her mind and went out and sang, and she won the thing. And I think that is a perfect summary of just how she sang throughout her career. She was thinking on her feet creatively every second. You never knew where that melody was going to go, but it was always going to go someplace wonderful. with her.
You know, things happen for a reason.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And actually, the reason that you have a book in front of you on the table is because when you come here, we put you to work.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear another track from your record, the title track, actually. But before, you've got to read a PSA. So.
Sure. All right, speaking of education all around
there
us,
you go.
Children are naturally curious. They're born learning. So follow their lead. What does your child like about riding the car? Singing along to the radio music? Counting trucks or watching the traffic light change color? Talk with your child about what's going on around the car, and it becomes a learning moment. And when you talk with your child, you build vocabulary. Learning starts long before school does. For tips, go to bornlearning.org, a public service announcement brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and WMFO.
Thank you very much. Better than any of us could do it, that's for sure. I want to thank you sincerely so much for coming in.
That's been my pleasure.
It was such wonderful music for a Saturday morning.
I hope so.
It really
thank
was.
You.
And I hope you come back.
Sure thing.
And again, I'll remind everybody that I've got a link to your record on iTunes.
Thank you.
It's called Machine with a Memoir.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about your gig that's coming up.
Sure. Well, tonight I'm playing at Union Coffee in Milford.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely little spot that hosts live music many days a week. I'll be playing songs from the record. I'll be playing a couple of new ones if I'm feeling gutsy enough. Maybe a couple of covers as well. And then I'll be at Sally O'Brien's April 5th, right here in our back door.
Yeah.
With Party Walsh. That's a Friday night, for those of you that are wondering.
Okay.
Do we have time to talk about another show, briefly?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a show that I'm actually not playing. Mm-hmm. Something that's important to me. I started this project a while back and it's finally coming to fruition. I don't know if any of you saw the article in 2017 that said the death of the electric guitar.
Oh, and the whole Gibson guitar thing?
So yeah, mm-hmm. that whole thing kind of came out afterwards, kind of sadly proving the point of the article. But I think there were valuable points of the article that were made. It's important to note, and there have been many rebuttals to this article since, that not as many guitars are being sold because they're being resold, for example.
Okay.
But there was a line in the article that kind of bugged me, and it was that there are no more guitar heroes. And we know that's not true. And I think the author did make a point that there are just different types of guitar heroes inspiring kids to learn music. But I think that there's sort of this standard, and it's nothing against the people that are great guitarists and deserve to be remembered and talked about, but we have a sort of homogeneous identity of guitar hero in our society. And you know, there's always been this argument. I get this sort of response sometimes, like, well, there just weren't as many women playing guitar way back or whatever.
And sure not the case anymore.
It's sure not the case anymore. And I argue that could have been the case, but it also could have been that no one paid attention. Like, why did it take me so long to learn about Rosetta Tharpe, for example? No one told me about it when I was growing up.
This many.
Yeah. So my effort in this show I'm putting on, that started out as me interviewing guitar players in the community, Boston area, my goal was to just hear from them on their background and their music. And I would just post about it on my music page, which I know doesn't have fantastic reach, but it was important for me to make visibility of our local guitar heroes out there. And guitar players of all different genres, all different races, all different genders, what have you. So to culminate that, and I do host a playlist every month of those guitar players on my Spotify.
Okay.
But I really want it to be visible live. So I'm putting on my first A Guitarist Is showcase at the Burren on May 12th, which will feature Tori Silver, Paul Yu.
Love Tori Silver.
They're all great. Josie Lauder, Megan Casey, and Andrew, I apologize if I'm saying your name wrong, even though you're one of my close friends, Agababian. He plays in Unnamed Colors, and these are all just wonderful guitar players. I learned so much from knowing them and their music. And I can't wait for everyone to hear their sets on May 12th. So the ticket link is up now as of yesterday. And please join us in making the representation of all Guitar Heroes more visible.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Okay, so May 12th, the back room at the Barn.
Yes.
Okay, and people can just go to your Facebook page and find that link?
Yes.
Perfect.
So again, I won't be playing, but I'll be hosting, and this will also serve as a fundraiser for Girls Rock Campaign Boston in promoting the future Guitar Heroes.
I think it's all just wonderful as hell. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah Savoir-Fair and Mike, for having Bosselman Rock.
Very welcome. Please don't be a stranger.
I sure will.
Okay, so we're going to go out with the title track, Machine with a Memoir, and then we'll talk to Sue, who's here for something about the women.
Hi, Sue.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again,
Savoir-Fair.
Appreciate it so much. This is WMFO, Medford.